What's going on, Nashville? Good Friday to you. Welcome in, Chase, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you as we are ready to rock and roll on this Friday. Predators get a big win last night. Nick Kieser is back at our studios, and I see Willie has made it safely to Vancouver. He's ready to go. How we doing, boys?
Doing great. Everything is wonderful. It's Friday. I got a job. Hey, what more can you ask for? You know?
That's good. Well, you do have a job, and I'm glad you have a job.
Exactly. No, that's like the movie Friday.
Yeah. Man, how are you going to get fired on your day off?
Exactly. That look like you stealing boxes, man.
That's such a great movie. I love that one so much.
Goodness.
I may have to watch that later on today. But Willie, give us an update. So how was the flight to Vancouver?
Not bad. Not bad. It was definitely spirited. You know, the team has obviously gone through some tough times here, so they really clicked last night. It was their best performance of the season, without question, especially given the level of competition. So they were in a good mood coming over the Rockies to get to Vancouver. So got here smoothly. It's been raining throughout, as it does often in Vancouver. And so the weather today is 100% chance of rain pretty much all day. So it'll be a day to sort of rest and regroup, and they'll take on the Canucks tomorrow.
Yeah, going to be a good matchup for sure. But I really liked how they played from start to finish last night. You know, I was talking to Hal Gill about it, that, you know, I thought they came out with some jump. You could tell that whatever conversations they had had between Tuesday and last night had worked. John Hines tweaked the lineup, called up Mark Jankowski, and who else to get the first goal of the night, get it scoring, but Mark Jankowski on a kind of a crazy little sequence. You know, Cole Smith kind of flips it in, and then it's picked up by Big Mac, Michael McCarron. It bounces off the post, goes right to the stick for Jankowski, and he buries it. But that's how the Predators would get going, and they'd end up winning 4-1. And the thing too that I liked, Willie, is you had guys like Forsberg stepping up, doing his thing. Johansson was making plays. Duchesne, I thought everybody really chipped in, and it was a good dominant win.
No question. And Jankowski's goal was just a really big boost to the team, and it was at the end of a very, very sharp period that they played. You'd hate to come out of that first period even, because they dominated the game. And, you know, I think it was just a sign yesterday. We talked to Mattias Ekholm on Wednesday from Calgary, the day after the Edmonton game where they got just run out of the building. We also talked to Michael McCarron yesterday. I think you could really sense the belief and the, you know, falling back on a team that's pretty tight-knit. I think they have a good identity. They just knew they weren't playing up to their capability. And they were able to find a little formula last night, and they finally looked like they were all on the same page on the ice. But, I really took to heart the lack of panic that I heard, especially from Mattias Ekholm. He was just real easy going. He was even keeled. He knew that they weren't playing well, but he seemed very much of the belief that they'll find a way out of it. Now, one game doesn't get you out of a hole, but that looked more like the team that they had in mind when they built it. They had four lines contributing. They made some tough decisions. You know, they put Kevin Lankinen in there. They were determined to take some of the workload off of UC Saros. Lankinen comes up with a great performance. They made a tough decision to put Jordan Gross in. He looked okay. And then
didn't
the big one
bad.
Was Jankowski. Jankowski coming up from Milwaukee when they could have gone any number of directions, because Milwaukee's played so well. To have Jankowski come up and play so well, that was a really good feeling, I think, for everybody involved. No one more so than Jankowski, who used to play for the Flames, and man, was he elated when he scored that goal.
Yeah, it was awesome. So,
and that was a really nice shot of your midsection there.
Sorry,
Chase, as we,
sorry
your
about
microphone.
That.
Yeah, your camera went pan down.
I was hoping you wouldn't notice. But
I don't know if D-Mace probably didn't see that from where
he's sitting there. But I didn't see it.
The studio. Yeah. People watching on the stream got a show, got more of a show than they were bargaining for.
Of the Nerds.
Derek is blessed.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Well,
Derek, have you ever seen the movie Revenge of the Nerds?
Who, me? Of course.
Yeah. So
one and two. There was more than two.
So when they panned down, that's what happened to Chase. They just panned down.
Oh, okay. Dang it, Chase.
Sorry about that. I'm working at the home studio today, and I was trying to adjust something on my board and forgot that. It's a Friday.
Well, we're glad you're doing a show in pants.
Hey, well, I wouldn't call them pants.
Let's all be thankful for that.
More like basketball shorts.
Yeah, well, good thing you're doing them in bottoms. Let's just put it that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
That could have been really scary.
Could have been really awkward there for a minute. anyway, we're gonna go to Kansas City a little later in the show. Talk to Seren Petro. Willie, you know Seren very well. I'm sure. Actually going on his show this afternoon, so figured, hey, let's do each other's shows today. Talk about this game, but I'm very curious of this matchup because I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I've had two feelings this week about two different games, or a series of feelings, I should say. Earlier in the week, I was feeling really good about Ryan Tannehill playing. Not feeling really good about Ryan Tannehill playing as we go along. He did not practice yesterday. And then, similar to the Alabama game, I was unsure about Tennessee, Georgia. And as the week has gone on, I've kind of gotten more and more confident in the Vols. So it's two different spectrums for two different very big games. But with the Titans, I'm really not feeling so good about Tannehill because the fact that he was limited on Wednesday, even though from what I'm told he didn't do a whole lot and then did not practice yesterday, that kind of worries me. Kind of feel like we could see Malik Willis again.
Well, what have you been saying from the start? If it's a high ankle sprain, it's multiple weeks. Your ankle doesn't work. So it's a tough, tough injury to come back from. As much as you want to try and tough it out, play with pain, it's not the issue. The pain isn't the issue. It's the mobility. So we'll see. Today, D-Mace, what do you think? Friday is a really important day, right? If you can't play Friday, then that really makes it tough.
Yeah, it does. And you know, we've been discussing this for the last 2 weeks, and it seems like, you know, some people get confused because they see, oh, he was limited. Well, again, I've been trying to tell you, limited could mean just him going through walkthrough, because that's all you see. That's all we would ever see. They don't allow you to see practice, and rightfully so. They let you see the individual stuff, and if they want to sort of tailor the narrative, they put Ryan Tannehill out there, and they say, do what you can. You're walking through everything. Everything's slow motion. So technically, we can put you down as limited, even though you only went through walkthrough, which was 15 minutes of practice, of an hour and a half, 2 hour practice. So that's how they can get away with it. But then the tail sign is, do you practice on Friday? Because Friday is red zone, 2 minute. Are you able and capable of practicing on that day? And if you're not, then now is a game time decision. And from the looks of it, he didn't practice last Friday. Got sent home because he was sick. He didn't practice this Friday without really. I would dare to say he did not go through anything full speed this whole week. Not one thing. And if that's indeed the case, then I don't think they're going to put him out there on Sunday. I just don't. Now, it's not 100%, but if you hadn't went through anything full speed, again, this is an ankle injury. It's not like it's an upper body injury. He didn't go through anything full speed the whole week, and then you expect him to go out, and then he don't practice on Friday or Thursday and don't go again on Friday, and then you expect him to go out there and play? Nah, I think it's highly unlikely that he plays Sunday.
So
that's just me.
When you say he was sent home sick last Friday, how does that work? Is that like in school? Do they do they call somebody and say, hey, Ryan's not feeling well. We're going to need you to come get him.
No, he goes home. He gets in his car and he goes home. But here's the deal. When you're sick on a Friday, typically it's, okay, I'm coming in the morning. I'm letting them know I'm sick. And they're going to give me IVs. The doctor's going to check me out. Unless, again, it's COVID, then I don't know what the procedures are with the NFL now because they've changed, so I don't know what they are. But unless if it's COVID, then they probably tell him to stay home. He don't even come into the building. But if it's not, then you come in, you get evaluated. They probably want to give you some IVs, and then they may send you home. But if you don't have any other injury or they think you're going to play Sunday, you're on that plane. If it's just a regular sickness, say if it's the flu, and you know they want to get some IVs in you, they're still going to allow you to travel because you can feel better come Sunday. As we've seen a lot of people and a lot of players play with the flu. They tweeted or whatnot, I was in the bed all day the other day and I came out and played. So they're not going to send him home and not play just because he's sick.
Sure.
Ryan Tannehill told you it was the injury. Exactly. Yeah. It's the ankle. So if it's the ankle and then you're not practicing this week at all, really, what makes you think you're going to play on Sunday? Why should we feel that confident that you're going to play on Sunday? I don't think we do. Yeah, I just don't see it. I don't. But this is the coaches do this. They play this sort of, we're going to keep everything to the vest. Keep it tight to the vest. And we will, let you know when we have to, which is, typically the day before the game.
We will keep you updated on that if any news comes out. But what's your thoughts? 615-737-1025. Do you think Ryan Tannehill is going to play on Sunday? But coming up next, there's an injury, or is it an injury, that we haven't really talked about that maybe we should be talking about. I'll explain. Coming up next, it's Chase Willie and D-Mace here on a Friday. 1025, 106.3, The Game. Chase Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you, taking your calls, your text, 615-737-1025, talking about the Titans and what is going to take place on Sunday Night Football. We'll talk to Seren Petro of 810, at Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City at 11:30. Eddie George, TSU head football coach at 1. Joe Dubin, before all of that, at 10:30, high school football, the playoffs getting underway tonight, so we'll get his thoughts on that. Plus, Ask D-Mace at 12:30 today. Looking forward to all of that. All right, so is Ryan Tannehill going to play? That is a big question. But there's something else that I don't think is – well, I'm not even going to say that. I want to know what you guys think, if it's a big deal or not. Because on Wednesday's injury report, Derrick Henry was listed as a limited participant, but under injury it said foot. We all know that the foot is obviously something to be concerned about because he hurt that last year. Yesterday, he did not practice, and the injury was changed to NIR, not injury-related, and rest. Derrick Henry did address the media, and of course, everybody immediately asked him about the foot. Here was his response.
Derek, you're on the injury report with a foot. How are you feeling? Because everyone's starting to panic.
Oh, yeah. My foot is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong. I'll be out there on Sunday playing, so foot is fine. There's nothing to panic about. Everybody have a great Thursday. So.
Same foot?
No, Paul, there's nothing wrong with my foot. The right or left, the foot is fine.
The foot is fine, according to Derrick Henry. Played it off, said happy Thursday, nothing to see here. You guys worried?
No.
No.
I'm not worried. And listen, his foot might be sore. It's just the way it is. Or his knees could be sore. That's just the way it is. He's taking a lot of carries and has a lot of pounding within the last 4 or 5 weeks. And rightfully so, he's going to be sore and whatnot. And Vrabel's going to give him time off. So please, I mean, people, don't make such a big deal. If he starts missing games or, you know, he's noticeably slowed down or limping, then we need to worry. But he carried the ball almost 40 times, and he looked great. So after carrying the ball 40 times, you need some rest. I saw Eddie George do it. Carried the ball 35, 40 times. During the next following week, he needs some rest. That's just what it is. He needs rest. And you give it to him. He may be a little sore because of the week. Nobody's as sore as the running back. Nobody. Maybe some linebackers. But nobody's really as sore as those running backs because they are getting pounded just about every play. So when you run the ball close to 40 times, you're going to be sore and you're going to need a day off. And then he got, Thursday off because – listen, he's not going to do much. He's not much in. He's not in that in those packages much that they implement on Thursday. So get a man some rest. He'll be ready Sunday.
Right, but here's the problem though. They put Foot on the injury report on Wednesday, and so that of course is going to get everybody's attention and make everybody nervous. And then they change it to rest. I get giving him rest. They've been doing that. Like I have no issue with that. But I guess where it got me was why'd you put Foot on there? You like if you're gonna. If there's something, like, make it something different. But the Foot was, you know, obviously what he hurt. And, you know, he played it off. But I think that's what got everybody bent out of shape.
Yeah, it's fair to say that should have everybody worried. I always, in general, am concerned about the workload for him. This particular thing, why did they put the Foot on there? Of course, it's right about a year after it happened. Last year. So there's no question that if you're a worry wart, you had to see that and say, uh-oh, what's happening? So I guess it's somewhat reassuring, but people will remember that if something does arise from here. You know, if he goes out and does his thing for the next 3 or 4 weeks, you'll probably forget it. But if something ever does develop with the Foot, people will go back to that practice report and say, wonder what was going on there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Our listeners are very astute, watching on the stream, and they have it wasn't me panning the camera down, but they pointed something out that we got a text from Troy in Murfreesboro that says, Willie has Jared's email up on Facebook under his picture, and then he sends a screenshot, and I realized yesterday I changed Willie's name to Jared. And so it says Jared Stillman at Jared Stillman, his Twitter account. So, Willie, I'm sorry for putting that on.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
We'll get that fixed.
I'm on it.
Well, Jared might get some very interesting emails then.
Or yeah, I'll well, it's not emails. Emails. It's his Twitter.
Oh, so Jared will get a lot of questions on, you know, why Jankowski and Jordan Gross and all those things?
Yeah, and probably the World Series, you know, what's up with Syndergaard or things like that.
Okay. So, all right, well, enjoy.
Yeah, 615-737-1025. That's our phone number driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can weigh in at any time. Crazy Billy has a comment on Derrick Henry's foot.
Hey, D-Mace, this is Crazy Billy here. Quick question. I'm in full agreement with your comment there where you're saying the running backs get hammered from all angles, upside down, backwards, flipped over, whatever. Do you remember when you was playing, brother, how you could possibly prepare for a hit as a wideout? Because I played both positions, and as a running back, I would just get annihilated. But sometime as a wideout, I could see something coming, prepare for something coming, except for across the middle. Mm-hmm. Did you ever do that? Prepare for that big hit right before somebody hammered you as a wide out?
Thank you, Billy, for the call. I appreciate it, man. Billy played both ways. That's tough, man. I played both ways in high school, but I wasn't trying to tackle nobody, man. Seriously. It's like I was the last line of defense. Like, don't nobody throw the ball over my head, and I try to grab your shoestrings, man. That wasn't me. I was about catching footballs and running away from people. I remember because I was the guy to catch the ball early in my career, and I'm trying to get every yard. It's like that's my mentality. That's what I grew up with. Get every bit that you can and fight and crawl and scratch for it. And I remember the late Mike Heimerdinger came to me and said, Mason, listen, we need you. That extra yard you trying to get a two, unless we truly need it, get down or get out of bounds, please, because we need you. He said this.
Don't get hurt.
Don't get hurt. I was like, okay. I had to change my mentality. So now, after that, when I would catch the ball, I would get, unless it was a situation where I had to get a first down or 2 minute or the end of the game, it was, all right, I catch the ball, get up the field, get what I can, and then I got down and got out of bounds because I wanted to be able to have the ability to play another play or not take as many hits on my body, unnecessary hits on my body. I used to watch Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne. They did it all the time, and people would, oh, they're scared to get hit. And then I finally realized, no, they're not. They're not scared to get hit. They just want to play another down. They know how important they are to this team, so they don't want to get hurt on some unnecessary stuff. Sure. And that's how I was able to sort of – I didn't shy away from it, but I always knew the situation. And if the situation called for me to go that extra yard or take that big hit, then I was taking it. But if it didn't call for me doing that, I was getting down and going back to the huddle. And we get that 1 yard because we had Eddie George in the backfield. So if we needed that extra yard, he would get it. Let him take the pounder, not me. He's like 5 inches taller and about 50 pounds heavier. So
Eddie,
let
him take it. You good, Eddie?
Exactly. Let Eddie take that pounder, not me. But, yeah, I mean, it's hard for a running back. Like I said, they take so much pounding, especially when you are guys like Derrick Henry or Eddie George, Jerome Bettis, these big backs that, you know, they don't shy away from contact. And a lot of times, you know, just because you get the best of a guy doesn't mean you're not also taking a massive blow. And these guys, play in and play out, take big hits that, you know, yeah, they dish him out, but they're getting him. So him being sore and him missing practice this week, it's not, to me, it's not, I'm not alarmed unless I start seeing it on the field where he's limping and slow to get up and everything else.
Right. And I think ultimately it's probably going to be fine and there won't be a big concern at all. But I just kind of felt like the way they handled it was interesting. But
that's Vrabel, man. Come on.
There's some truth to that. That is the Vrabenator for sure.
That's the Vrabel way.
Coming up next, high school football. The playoffs get underway tonight. Big Joe Dubin has it all covered on the Game Blitz. We'll talk to him coming up because it's going to be a lot of fun. But Superbook Sports, that is the place for you to go because it's all happening right now. You got football, you got basketball, you got baseball, you got hockey, and soon enough the World Cup. And there's no better place to wager on all of that than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, deposit, and wager in the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. When the sports world is busy, it's time to get busy winning some money. I'll tell you what I did. I put a pretty big number on Tennessee, the money line plus 240, for them to go beat Georgia in Athens. I feel really good about the Vols, and you should too. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com to wager and win today. You can visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Join Big Joe Dubin and Elijah Campbell tonight for the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy from 6 to midnight. They'll preview the big games and then take you through the night of high school football. It is week one of the playoffs around the mid-state. It's the Apple Collision Center's Game Blitz, presented by National Playmakers Academy on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Let's go to a man that wishes he had a mustache like Tom Selleck and maybe even Jeff Fisher. Big Joe Dubin is on the line with us. JoJo, how you doing?
You know what I'm going to do next summer, though? I'm going to bring back the Magnum PI shorts. You know, we're all wearing this cargo shorts now that go below the knee.
Don't do it. Don't. Nope. Don't. Nope. Nope. Big joke. Don't. Nope.
I'm on board, Derek.
No.
Be a leader. Be a leader.
Are we all wearing the cargo shorts or just you? Because I thought cargo shorts were out.
I like cargo shorts.
I see them all the time. Yeah. Love them.
Okay,
I love them, but next year we're bringing back the tight shorts. You wait and see.
See, I think this is the difference because you and Derek are at the point where you don't necessarily care anymore, and you know you're not worried about dating like I am. And so I've been told that cargo shorts are out and that I need to update my style. So you know that's where
I'm
at.
Yeah, here's the deal. I was watching an episode of Magnum PI, the old Magnum PI, like 3 or 4 nights ago, and he was wearing shorts so tight he was on a business meeting. He was wearing shorts so tight that I almost had to block my son's eye. I'm like, you can't watch this. This is terrible. So I thought, you know what? We're going to bring it back next year. Why not?
No, Joe. You might as well go back to the bike shorts then, if that's the case. The old school coaches bike shorts.
those are good. Oh. Big Joe Dubin is with us. High school football, the playoffs get underway tonight. And I'm excited because I think that there are a lot of mid-state teams that can really make some noise. I want to start with 6A because it's loaded. And I think everybody looks at Oakland and the Oakland Patriots, and they should. They've done a lot of good things under Kevin Creasy, won a lot of football games. But, Joe, I don't know if their path is as easy as everybody makes it out to be, because you got teams like Cane Ridge in there, Ravenwood that's in there. Independence has had a nice year, Brentwood as well. So what do you make of the 6A bracket and the path to get to the Blue Cross Bowl?
Well, I think it's a good point there you made, but after Oakland got beat by CPA, they've been on a tear. I mean, they've been on a tear. We had Kevin Creasy on the show last Friday night. He's like, you know what? You know, you don't like to lose games, but when you lose games, you want to learn a lesson. I think my boys learned a lesson from that game, that on any Friday night, if you don't bring it, you're going to get embarrassed. And we got embarrassed. And so since that time, they played really good. But the good news, you know, in that bracket where they are, if they Chubbville tonight, the game I'm looking forward to tonight, the game I've got my eye on more than any other game, is this Riverdale-Lebanon game, because both teams are really good. And Riverdale has been – they lost 31 seniors. And so they come back as the number one player in the state on the team. You know, winner of that game gets Oakland, and then Oakland moves on. They might play Blackman in the quarterfinals, and then, you know, Maryville's not what they used to be. So if Oakland can survive the second round of the quarterfinal round, they've got a path to get to the state championship. But, like, this game's like Riverdale and Lebanon is really good. Lebanon came in second in their district. They lost to Coffee County. So they're expected to win that region, district, whatever, but they came in second. Riverdale is playing really good. They really beat a good East Nashville team 2 weeks ago. So, I don't know. So, in the playoffs, you got 1-4, 2-3. All these 2-3 games in our area are intense games. I mean, it's really good to see the competition, because you got Smyrna and Hendersonville tonight. You got Overton traveling to Clarksville.
Yeah, that's an intriguing one.
Yeah.
Overton-Clarksville is intriguing.
Yeah, and, you know, and the winner of that game, you know, probably is going to face Cane Ridge, but they take on Gallatin tonight. And then the bottom bracket down there, Ravenwood's going to take on a tough Germantown team that comes down. Independence is on the road down in Memphis playing Houston. And then you look at Brentwood's home versus Collierville, was a great team. And then Centennial's got to travel all the way down to Memphis to take on Bartlett. So 6A is stacked. If you survive the first two rounds of the 6A playoffs, you're doing something special. But at the same time, you could be exhausted, because there's some really tough games that are going on right there. So that's good to look forward to that. By the way, Oakland's taking on Shelbyville. Shelbyville's 1-9. They squeaked in because they came in fourth place in the region. So they're taking on Oakland tonight. So that could be 100-0 if Kevin Creasy doesn't pull the horses tonight. That's going to be pretty bad. But anyway, another game I'm looking forward to is Coffee County and Stewart's Creek. Coffee County has not won a playoff game, I think, in forever. And they're taking on Stewart's Creek, who battled against the teams like Oakland and Blackman and all those teams. And it's going to be a good game. So anyway, you can throw a dart tonight. Anywhere you hit, you're going to find a really good game. I'm worried about my McGavick Raiders, though. They take on Beach Buccaneers. Yeah. And Beach just pushes you down the field. They might throw two passes, and that they don't need to do anything else. They run that dadgum wing tee that's been around since the Mayflower came over. And nobody can really – it's hard to stop that. It's hard to stop that offense. You got good running backs.
It still works.
So there's a lot of good games.
It still works.
It does.
It does. Joe Dubin is with us. One half of the Game Blitz, Elijah Campbell, will join him tonight too. Now, in 5A, that's also intriguing. The Nolensville Knights, 10-0 on the season. They'll play Wilson Central tonight. And they obviously like their chances to make a run at it. But I like Page, Green Hill. They play each other tonight. I mean, I think the winner of that game could make some noise. 5A also intriguing.
Very intriguing. Don't sleep on Wilson Central. They've rallied. They've become a hot team at the end of the season. They go to Nolensville. I'm not saying Nolensville and the coach Derek down there are going to look Wilson Central, but if you look, you know, to the second round, they take a White County or Franklin County. They might be looking at, you know, Wilson Central's 4-6. We're 10-0. So it's going to be a tough game there. But, Mount Juliet has come along and played really good. And they beat Green Hill last week. It was a great game. We got Page at Green Hill tonight. The winner of that game is probably going to take on Mount Juliet. And that's going to be a fantastic game because Page has still got a lot of firepower. Green Hill is a good football team. He's happened to play Mount Juliet, lose a region last week. So 5A is good. But I know we got a lot of people listening over in Paris, Tennessee, including our boy Bo Cephas, who's a big Henry County football fan. Henry County is the team. They are probably one of the most underrated football programs in the state of Tennessee in the last 25 years. And they played Dyer County tonight. They've got a nice little path to get to the state championship because they're on the west side of that bracket. There's some tough games on the road. They might have a collision course with Springfield down the way, but Henry County, I think, is the team that emerges from 5A in that bracket.
Now, Big Joe, you've mentioned a lot of games here, and you mentioned a lot of tough battles, whether it be a top seed versus a lower seed. But which one of these games truly has the ingredients to be an upset game?
That's a great question. I like, for some reason, this Riverdale football team. I know they're third in the region. They're playing a team in Lebanon. But, man, they're battle-tested. I mean, they are just a battle-tested football team. And I don't see them getting pushed out quickly. And that's going to be a really good game because those teams like to hit. I mean, they practice. They hit Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in practice. So I'm keeping an eye on that Lebanon-Riverdale game. And it's tough because the 1 versus 4, you hardly ever see upsets in that. It's always the 2 versus 3. And even though if Riverdale beats Lebanon tonight, it's not much of an upset because of what Riverdale has done to accomplish. But that's one game I'm looking at as well. Anyway, if you go drop down into the private school brackets there too as well, you got Father Ryan is taking an MUF. Father Ryan finished the season at 2-8, mm-hmm. but they scored a lot of points. And so if their defense had come around, just Father Ryan could make some noise in, the private school section in Division III who you didn't think about like that. So everything's up for grabs. And Derek, as well, man, this is it. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, you lose tonight, you're over. You're done. It's goodbye. Your last game if you're a senior, and you keep on playing. So there's a lot of nerves, a lot of anxiety tonight because I've been in these games before where you go and you play and you lose. I lost my senior year. We lost in a Hail Mary against NBA last play of the game, and that haunts me 37 years later. It still haunts me. So a lot of memories will be made tonight, and a lot of heartbreak will happen tonight.
Joe Dubin is with us. We're talking about the matchups as the high school football playoffs get underway. So I got one for you, Joe. Remember the Waverly story? It was such an amazing thing when they had the flood and all the equipment issues that they had, all of the surrounding things, the residuals. The Titans host them for a while. For people that haven't really paid attention, they're 8-1 this year. They host Stratford tonight, so they've got a good matchup. Tell us about that, the recovery of that program.
Well, it's a good question. We had Coach Boldman last week, and he is kind of like, hey, we lived through that. We learned about it. We put it behind us. And I'm like, the team, the rally, he was very emphatic. He's like, we learned from it. That was last year. We're focused about this year because if we paid too much in the last year and everything that went on, he goes, it's kind of depressing. And I was like, yeah, Coach, you're correct. He's like, so now we just focus on what's in front of us. And that 3A, football, 1A, 6A, there's a lot of good competition, a lot of good players. So Waverly's done great. So they play Stratford tonight. They're most likely going to take on East Nashville next week if East Nashville wins tonight. So there's a battle there. If they win that game, they're probably going to take on Fairview or Smith County in the quarterfinals. But this is the little engine that could, man. They just, Waverly goes out, they win their games. They play a lot of teams in Middle Tennessee that aren't close to them. They got to travel a long way. But the pride in that program and to see where that program's come from, I mean, they lost everything last year. And they had every excuse and reason to say, we're going to try to battle back. We'll go 2-7, 2-8, and end up going 8-1 and playing great football. And now they're hosting a home playoff game tonight and just taking one game at a time and move on. But my goodness, you got to take on East Nashville next week, and they're going to be mad coming off their loss from Smith County where they lost the region in a very close game. I love this. This is one of the most exciting playoff brackets I've seen in all my years of covering high school football. And Waverly is one of those best stories.
That's great. So how is their field? Joe, you mentioned they're hosting. Have they been able to put the facility back together? That had to take a lot of work.
It did. They got a lot of support from a lot of people in Middle Tennessee. You might remember that I know Mount Juliet did this, our head coach Trey Perry. They loaded up all the extra equipment that they had last year. I know the Titans stepped in big time for them. But a lot of these high schools around Middle Tennessee did not get the publicity they should have gotten for the things they donated, where it's pre-wrap tape and athletic tape and helmets or mouthpiece or whatever. A lot of schools came together to help them out. But the field, I understand the field's in great condition and things are fine. They're ready to play. They played all year on it, and so they're ready to play tonight. How great is that, hosting a home football game? Well, last year, you didn't know if you'd ever play again on that field or that team or anything. And watch him now. It's fantastic.
He's Big Joe Dubin, one half of the Game Blitz. They'll get it going at 6 o'clock tonight, week one of the high school football playoffs. Can't wait, JoJo. Thanks so much.
All right, boys. See you later on. Thank you.
Absolutely. Joe Dubin, Big Joe on the go on Twitter. Give him a follow. It's going to be a lot of fun with the high school football playoffs. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Predators' win last night, do more of a deep dive into that. 615-737-1025. It's Chase William D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Chase Willie D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at 1025 the game Nashville. Check that out. We're all over the place today, but Nick and Derek are back at the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Predators get the 4-1 win last night in Calgary. Game 2 of a 5-game road trip, as they're now 1-1 on this road trip and get their first true road win of the year, even though you count Prague, obviously, but going into a tough place, the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. I did enjoy the video, Willie, of Max making the trek for the first time high above the ice at the Saddle Dome.
Woo! I'll tell you. It is quite breathtaking. I did it twice last night because what I realized, and I've only gone there 15 times now or whatever it is, you can get down to the locker room quicker. When I go down and do the pregame interview, you have to take one of the two elevators. One of them is on the same side that you broadcast from, so you don't have to walk across the ice over the top of the Jumbotron to get there. But the other elevator is a lot faster. It's an express elevator that's only for the media. So the woman who was our producer down there, she led me back over the top of the scoreboard. So I went over, back, and back over. So I made really three trips. And, man, I get anxiety every time. The last time I did it, the warm-ups were still going on. So you see people zooming around the ice below you. And that really creates another effect. But Max handled it really well. It was captured on video, and then he called a good game. So
yeah,
I think it's just something you got to do when you go to Calgary.
Yeah, no doubt. Maybe I'll get to check that out one of these days. But what's been your assessment so far of Philip Forsberg? Because I really think he's starting to come on. You're starting to see that guy that we saw last year. He's already got 4 goals on the season, but he's making plays even when he's not scoring. I feel like he's really rounding into form.
Yeah, I think he's got 8 points in his last 4 games now. He's also doing a good job of driving play. I think he's actually been the best on his line. Matt Duchene's getting points as well, but I think the driver right now is Philip Forsberg. I really like how he's playing. You know, I try to look at the underlying numbers that go with the points. You know, it's easy to look and say, okay, guy's got 4 goals, 8 assists, whatever it is, and say he's doing well. But what you're really looking for, too, is stuff that drives play and makes everybody else around him better. And Forsberg is definitely doing that. If he had a little luck, he's hit, I don't know, what, 3 or 4 posts this year, too?
Yeah.
I do think that goal binge that he usually has over the course of the year, hopefully that's around the corner, not too far ahead, because you know, he could start carrying with those kind of sprees, if you will. So let's hope that keeps coming around. And one of the other guys, Brian Baston, who I've been consulting a lot with some analytics stuff, he's been pointing out too that, you know, expected goals and things like that, the scoring chances he's creating, the analytics support what you're seeing with the eye test, that he's been a good force.
D-Mace, you can't base everything on one win. I mean, they did that with St. Louis, but they win last night. But what does a game where you pretty much have control from the jump, which is exactly what they had last night, What does that do for a team's confidence?
It shows them that if they do things the way they are capable of doing it, or do things as a team within the framework of what Coach Hines wants them to do, and they do it with urgency, then good things tend to work out for this team, because they have the talent. They have the players to win a bunch of games in this league. But just because you have the players, you can't then be undisciplined in what you do. You can't then be, a little lackadaisical or not be focused game in and game out. And I'm sure it's hard to do that. Hell, it was hard to do it, at times playing, 16 games in the NFL. Just imagine playing 80-some games in hockey. It's hard to stay focused. But you have to find a way each and every game to bring that level of focus and intensity when you're out there on the ice. So I think last night showed them that if we come out and we do the things that we're capable of doing, if we attention to detail is very important, if we play within the scheme framework of our offense and defense, then we have the firepower to play with just about anybody in the National Hockey League. They started off fast yesterday. It seemed like this team was, based on the night before or two nights before, it seemed like this team, everybody was put in a hyperbaric chamber and everybody slept in it all night, and then came out the next day and it was just like boom, boom, and they never stopped throughout the game. And they played with energy and passion. But they did it within the framework of what was going on. So, it's not, I'm not saying that game will change the season, but at least it gives them an idea of, hey, listen, if we do the things we're capable of doing and we do it within, the framework of what Coach Hines wants us to do, more times than not, we're going to win games.
And Lanky between the pipes last night, Willie, getting it done.
Yeah, I'm going to ask D. Mace about the hyperbaric chamber. I'm just going to find out if anybody actually used it.
We used it a lot when I was playing. I don't know how.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, I don't know how guys use it now, how important it is now, or, whatnot. Do a lot of guys still use that form of, getting your body back to peak to peak performance? So I don't know I'm sure they still use it, but just ask the guys and see if they do.
I'm going to ask around. We'll see if Pete Rogers carries one around with the equipment so the guys can get in there. But I think the thing you hit on, Derek, the thing I saw is when guys start buying in and they got on the same page, they've wanted to, right? It's not this, it's not like they're all going their own way. They want to have that kind of result, but it finally kicked in. And then what I saw was a team that all of a sudden the confidence level went from about 2 to 10 over the course of that period. It's like all of a sudden, yeah, okay, this is how we play. All right, yeah, we got it now. And then they had, a guy makes a play. Jankowski scores one. They've had trouble finishing plays like that. And it seems to be a little bit contagious. But like you were started with, Chase, it's only one game. Right, so you've got to now build on it. But if you look around the league, the struggles are happening for a lot of different teams. The St. Louis Blues have lost 6 straight games. They won the first 3. They've lost 6 straight, and they've got people asking about Craig Berube. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's been a tremendously successful coach for the Blues, and people are saying the GM had to come out and give him a vote of confidence. So these ruts happen to different teams over the course of the year for 8 to 10 game stretches, even to very good teams. They're howling in Toronto. I was watching the Canadian feed. They had lost 4 in a row. And Sheldon Keefe, who usually has no trouble during the regular season, remember this is a team that's starved for playoff success, but they're loaded with top-end talent, they're calling for his head after a 4-game losing streak. So there's going to be ebb and flow, but you've got to solidify your game. And then, like you were saying, Derek, it's got to be consistent every night.
Well, you saw Jankowski when he comes off the bench. He doesn't come off the bench and sort of glides into it like, let me feel my way into it. He came off the bench ready to go. and he saw an opportunity to score a goal off a rebound, and he scored it. If every player comes out as if they just came from the minor league and they need to prove a point, this team would be much better than what they are now.
Chip on the shoulder. That's a great point. Note, he wasn't tentative, right? He came out there looking to make a good play. It wasn't, oh, I don't want anything bad to happen. I want to go out and make a good thing happen for my team. That was contagious, I thought.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So Mark Jankowski making an impact in his debut. Preds get the win 4-1. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans taking on the Chiefs. How can the Titans put up points offensively without Ryan Tannehill? We'll discuss that coming up next. But I'm very excited to talk about my friends at Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars. You've been hearing them as a proud sponsor of the Jonathan Hutton segments, but I've gotten to know Jeremy and his crew over there, and it's such a cool place to go. They've been voted having the best old-fashioned in Nashville, beating out 14 other bars and restaurants in the Music City. Blend Bar has an exclusive relationship with Davidoff Cigars, the best cigars in the world, that allows access to rare cigars that only Blend can carry. And I do love a good cigar. Went in there, tried a few, sampled some bourbon as well. It's just a really, really cool atmosphere. So I highly recommend going there. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars has the best ventilation system in the industry that allows for the enjoyment of cigar smokers and non-cigar smokers alike as well. And you can also have a private and VIP event. Just contact Jeremy for your next VIP event or party. Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars is a trendy, upscale, full-service bar and cigar lounge in the heart of downtown. It's just two blocks from Bridgestone Arena, the Ryman Auditorium, and Nissan Stadium. Go check them out and grab the best old-fashioned in Nashville and let their excellent staff create your next luxury experience with their state-of-the-art ventilation system, like I mentioned, and imported leather furniture, and make them your next stop for a night out on the town. It's Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars, luxury redefined.